Well, what's the old saying? Ask and ye shall receive, or that sort of thing. Well, I asked last week if there was anybody that had any ideas about lessons that we should be looking at, subject that we should be talking about, and I got plenty of answers. And so, for the next couple of weeks at least, we're going to be looking at a couple of subjects that we have looked at in the past. And the first one comes as a result of a request from Keisha, which is the subject of resurrection. And there's various things. We've looked at this in different ways, and we're going to go back and look at all of it pretty much again. So the first question with regard to this is, will all men be raised from the dead? So we hope to answer that today. So if you will, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. It's on page 1722 in the Companion Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1722. And we look at the 19th verse of that chapter. And it reads, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Now that's a strange verse, but the idea is that if you only have hope in Christ, if there's nothing more beyond that, then we are miserable. Without the hope of resurrection is what's being referred to here. If you'd want to read other verses and rest of this chapter. Without the hope of resurrection, Ichabod is written across all life, all efforts of preaching, all scripture. The gospel is preached in vain without this hope. Man is born with three really basic characteristics. He's born in sin. He has a brevity of life full of sorrow. That's where we find ourselves if we hope only in Christ as a person and do not understand that through Him we can have resurrection to newness of life. The gospel is preached in vain. And this doctrine of resurrection covers a vast amount that requires considerable attention. Subjects like the immortality of the soul, life only in Christ, the doctrine of demons and spirits, the resurrection of the Lord historically, and by the way, Peter Gillis just gave us a great lesson on that. If you didn't get to hear it, you may want to get the tape and listen to that. The historical evidence of Christ's own resurrection. There are historians that have written about it. Josephus, of course, is one. But Peter brought a great lesson on the historical resurrection of Christ and the fact that he lived and died and was crucified and so forth. All secular evidence. Resurrection of the Lord historically and doctrinally. And, of course, the resurrections are, there's more than one. And we're going to be looking at those eventually after we consider this first idea here, are all men resurrected? Arising out of these subjects are a number of problems that present themselves that require close study. And so we begin back in the book of Job. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 14, page 683. Job chapter 14, page 683. And I'm going to read a little bit more than what we read when we looked at this subject once before. I want to start at the beginning of that chapter, and in my preparation, I had to laugh out loud when I read this first verse. Verse number one, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, that's not because of the woman, because we're all born of woman, but this man refers to the human race. A man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bonds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branches thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the seas, and the food decay and dry up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And now the oldest question known to man, if a man die, shall he live again? Job here doesn't have what we have today. He doesn't know about Christ as the kinsman redeemer. And he only has his surroundings. He looks at the tree and he says, well, you know, you cut a tree down, and it dies apparently, and yet it springs back to life. And so he's looking at his surroundings to see what is the answer to this question, if a man die, shall he live again? Fortunately, Job had faith. Turn over to the 19th chapter then, of Job, and we find where he settles this in his mind in the 19th chapter, beginning with verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He's now returning to the idea of the kinsman redeemer, which, if you remember, that's a family member who comes to the rescue of somebody who has been troubled, a family member that comes. There's no counsel pauper's counsel for him. The resurrection, as far as he's concerned, is linked to the kinsman redeemer idea, the fruit of redemption. And in the Old Testament, we find this all through the Old Testament, this promise of resurrection. Turn to Isaiah chapter 26. It's on page 963 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So here we're seeing evidence of resurrection. Now, I want to point out one thing. If you read this chapter, don't get confused with verse 14. It says the opposite. Verse 14. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now that's just contrary to what we just read. But you got to read the verse before, in verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. So here this reference to those that are dead and perished, those are other lords. That's not Elohim or Jehovah or Yahweh. Actually, what's being referred to there is the Rephaelim, the giants, other lords. But here we have in the 19th verse, promise of a future through resurrection. Those promises are all through the Old Testament, and we find them in the New Testament as well. Maybe the most common one, turn to the book of John. And you don't have to, you can quote this one, John 3:16, where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we find this, turn over a couple of pages to John chapter 5, verses 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Question is, do only the sheep, do only the Christians hear the voice? Turn over to John chapter 10. John 10. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So here we see, and the sheep, of course, were always referred to. By the way, you and I are not sheep. The nation of Israel is his sheep. We're not sheep. But these sheep hear his voice in the grave. Turn a bit farther in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's on page 1792 if you're using a companion Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this culminates then in 1 Corinthians. You got to back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1722. Verse 20 of that 15th chapter, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Isn't it great 5,000 years ago, it's being promised by the prophets. We find it all through the New Testament. Christ was prophesied to be born, prophesied to raise from the dead. We are given the promise that if you believe, you will be resurrected also. It's a perfect sequence from Job all the way to Paul, Peter, and Silas, that the just, believers, those that sleep in Christ will be resurrected. Well, we got to double check and see if these things be true, because I'm going to poke a hole in that pretty much here in a minute. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I sometimes apologize for running you around in the scripture like this, but you know, the more you run around in there, the more familiar you become with it, and you see that it's not the gospel according to Redman. It's here written in God's Word. So today we're going a lot around looking at these verses, but here in Acts chapter 24, look at verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead. What? Both of the just and the unjust. Surprise, surprise. Go back to Daniel chapter 12. It's on page 1205. Daniel chapter 12. Page 1205. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So you're looking here, even in the Old Testament, those that awake, some just, some unjust. Go to Revelation now, in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 20, as we approach the end of Scripture, there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, I think you all understand that that judgment has nothing to do with the salvation of man. This is for reward. But nevertheless, it says every man, according to their works, will be raised up from the dead. So you've got this resurrection of both the just and the unjust. We find, go back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Page 1526, beginning with verse 28, the 28th verse of chapter 5. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, bring that back again because of the word all. All. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just to fortify the position again. 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, if resurrection is restricted to the redeemed, which typically is taught, then here you've got to assume that there must be two classes of believers. Is it possible? Can you use unjust of believers? Are there two classes of believers, the just and the unjust? This is a good question. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The whole world is divided into this, the just and the unjust. There's not two classes of believers. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, page 1866, verse 9 of that second chapter, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So you can begin to see that there's no class, there's no two classes of believer. You're divided into the just and the unjust. Those who have been redeemed through their belief in Christ and through the shed blood of him, and those who don't accept that at all. Turn now back to the John 3, that third chapter of the book of John, where we find John 3:16. And we want to read some more in that chapter. John chapter 3, skipping down from John 3:16, skipping down to the 18th verse of that chapter, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. It is a continuation, we find, of that same thing in John chapter 5, where we were before. Turn it back again to John chapter 5 and look at the verse again. John chapter 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, all, and shall come forth, and they that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. No stretch of the imagination can there be two classes of believers. There's only believers and non-believers, those who will be just and those who will be unjust. So you got to conclude, you're forced to conclude, that there is a twofold part to resurrection. A resurrection to newness of life, a state in which death can never again enter, and resurrection to damnation. We see it in the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Newness of life for those who are justified through belief in him. Life immortal, we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's on page 1809. But chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. A resurrection to judgment of the unjust, where the sting of death will not have been removed. The resurrection apparently is not always to newness of life. For some reason, all men will be resurrected, but not all to newness of life or life immortal. So the $64 question is this then: in what state will those that are unjust be when they are resurrected? Lazarus was resurrected, not to newness of life, he died. The young maid was brought to life, the widow's son. They were not raised incorruptible. And the miracles that we've studied, they were not given newness of life. Christ had the power to bring them from the grave, but they died again. They were brought forth, but were not raised incorruptible. Neither, there's another instance in Hebrew. Look in Hebrew chapter 11. It's on page 1842, where in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured not, accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And we're going to be looking at these different resurrections, the first, the second, the out. But here there were these dead raised again, and they were not raised to newness of life. They were raised. Christ had the ability to put them back together again, give them life, but they all died again, including Lazarus and the young maid and all those that we saw in the miracles that we studied. So the question is, what state still are the unjust when they are raised? Are they alive or are they dead? Well, one thing, the scripture doesn't speak of dead bodies. They speak only of the dead. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 1723. Beginning with verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear again, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to ever seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So in this resurrection, where some are given newness of life, others will have something else occur to them. Turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 22, page 1681. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What is he talking about? Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. The vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, he can put them back together again. I don't care if they've sat there in the ground for 5,000 years and they're nothing but dust, which they are. God can reconnect all that together. You remember when we read in Ezekiel chapter 37 about the dry bones? And those bones, and Ezekiel said, can these bones live again? And the answer was yes. God is able to put together the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction to bring them forth. So, they're coming out of the grave. We read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I don't know still what their state is. All I know is that they're coming out of the grave. Are they conscious? I don't know. I tend to think, and I didn't get to find it, but there's some verses that indicate that yes, they will know. It says that all will know eventually that he was in fact the Son of God. So they may be brought back to life. They may in this resurrection, and they may understand that Christ was the Son of God, but they are not given newness of life. They perish. And now I suppose that makes a lot more questions. But I wanted to start here with these resurrections before we go any further. Next week, we're going to be doing resurrection and judgment. It is a lot more difficult than this. So, Keisha, you got us on a track here. And we'll see where it goes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that we do have the hope of eternal life, that we, being just because of you, the kinsman redeemer, that we do have resurrection to immortality and life forever. We thank you for that we have, for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for each of these individuals here who are interested in learning more. I pray that you will continue to give us open eyes of understanding, that we may continue to grow and to know more of you and your purposes for the ages. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.